cyber risk, staying safe in a digital world. And it's Cyber Risk Insight with David Cohen, who joins us now on the line. He's a leading cyber risk specialist whose expertise has helped individuals, businesses, and organizations protect themselves against the ever-growing threats of the digital age. David, it's such a pleasure to chat with you. We haven't spoken in a long time. I hope you've been well, and thanks for joining us on the Home Run. What is the focus of your cyber risk presentation that you are going to hold this weekend at Limud?
Well, it's nice to speak to you again. Having memories of varsity days where you ran the Soldiers newspaper.
You're giving away the age.
And how you have become an international celebrity since then.
Thank
wonderful
you.
Wonderful interview. And I saw that with Keith and Aviva Spiegel. It was an amazing interview today.
Thank you, Dave.
Yes, I'll be at Limud, and hopefully a lot of you too will also be there. What I've decided to do is that we need to move the conversation, Paula, from talking about cyber to actually understand what the consequences are of a breach. And many companies are out there today putting in defense systems, wonderful firewalls, antivirus, and the like. And what they do is they think that is the way of keeping the bad guys out. But what I can tell you and what I can tell the listeners today is that the ability to keep the bad guys out is almost impossible. The real issue is, what do you do when the bad guys are in? And I'll tell you, in our business, Paula, we see so many companies that have spent so much money on security, but they get breached because the hackers are spending far more on trying to get into their systems than we are spending to try to keep them out. And therefore, it becomes an issue of, what do you do when you're attacked? So what I'm going to be doing at Limud is I'm going to be taking people through a cyber simulation based on a real-life experience we've created, what we call a boardroom discussion, a tabletop discussion, where we go through different levels of a cyber attack with growing intensity as it spirals out of control. And the issue there is that that's not a big business problem. Unfortunately, we're seeing it not more and more. It's far more prominent in the SME business environment than it is in the big business environment. And people need to know what to do. When you are attacked, you feel very vulnerable. You feel very stupid because a lot of people don't really know how IT works. They expect when you lift your laptop up, you see your Excel spreadsheet, not really what the bits and the bytes behind that are doing. So grown men and women who are leaders in the community and leaders in the business community are reduced to gibbering wrecks because of a cyber event, and they feel so inadequate. And that leads to silly decision making. So we need to, like in every security situation, think about it, think about what we would do, and we need people to help us simulate those situations so that we can get better prepared to deal with it, no matter how big or small our business is.
David, firstly, is it clear to a business owner that they have in fact been attacked? Or can it sometimes happen that you could still be running and not even know that your security has been breached?
A great question, Paula. There's a number of ways hackers can get into a system, and there are countless ways. What the statistics are showing is that hackers can sit in a system often for more than 6 months before revealing that they're actually there. And what they do is maybe just monitoring and watching what's happening in email communications, how the business operates, and the various methods that they do this as they slide across or up into the infrastructure until they ultimately have administrative rights where they can do things like change invoice numbers or have access to bank information and then try change banking details when clients send invoices. That's happening so frequently, everybody thinks it will never happen to them. But I've just got news for everybody that they need to be hyper-vigilant, because it's happening to even the best people out there who are the most alert.
And David, who are these hackers? Are they opportunists? Are they individuals? Are they part of international syndicates? Or is it a bit of everything?
It's a bit of everything, but I'm going to give you a great story, and the listeners should enjoy the story too. I spoke at a conference with the CEO of Howden Insurance. His name is Shai Simkin. He's from Israel. They're the biggest insurance brokers for cyber insurance. And he showed a video of the CIA taking down an Indonesian cyber syndicate. Now, you know, if you watch the video, you see two cars arrive and the CIA get out and they're in their decor regalia and they're really looking ominous and threatening, and they run up the stairs, and you should be watching the video camera footage from their helmets, and they break into a room of probably 15 by 15 meters. A very big boardroom. Around the boardroom are panels of the most sophisticated hardware you could possibly have, servers and routers, and absolutely state of the art. And in the middle, there's a boardroom table with 20 people around it. The youngest and newest recruit is a 22-year-old Chinese electrical engineer. So they arrest this guy. I have an interview with this guy. He's an engineer. I would say an engineer today because the whole world in front of him can do anything.
Yeah.
This guy couldn't do a job in China, and he lands up getting a job in a crime syndicate. And just remember, you must understand what he knows, because engineers learn the hook and bark. They don't learn Excel spreadsheets. They take it for granted that they know. And they say to this guy, they say to this 22-year-old Chinese hacker, "Why are you hacking?" He says, "I can't get a job." So they turn around and they say to him, "Well, how much money are you earning? It's such a great question, right? He looks at them. He's been in the syndicate for 7 months, and he's earning $100,000 a month.
Wow. Wow.
Okay, so just understand the money. They say that cybercrime will surpass drugs in the next couple of years. I mean, you're talking about big money being lost, big money being gained, and people no longer being in a position to say, my IT guy will look after it. Cyber is a business issue, and everyone in the business needs to understand it. And what I'll do at Limud is use a lot of case studies to try and show people what happened and to learn with them as to what might be a better strategy to keep our businesses secure.
David, I imagine some people might be asking, I have a small business, and as you said in the opening, it affects small businesses and big businesses equally. But somebody who has a small business with a limited budget might ask, how can they still protect themselves effectively against a cyber attack?
That's a great question, because if you understand risk, Paula, you'll understand that there's something called a risk appetite. There are people who are very gung-ho and prepared to onboard a lot of risk, and that's a personality type. And then there's some people who really want to do absolutely everything to prevent any and all eventualities, and they try that as best as they can, even though they can't do it. What we have to understand is we have to understand what our profile is as a business, and therefore a cyber risk assessment is absolutely mandatory for everybody to do. Because if you don't talk about risk, if you don't understand your assets, the threat, and what controls you are capable of putting in place in order to make those more secure, then effectively you are leaving your business to chance.
Mm.
And a cyber risk assessment can be done in many ways. Sometimes it's an expense size, sometimes it's not. But what you have to do is you've got to know that you've got a risk appetite, and you have to assign a budget to meet your risk appetite, because once you decide to take on the risk, you can't cry at, why didn't I do that? But you can say, I've got this budget, how best to use it? And certainly understanding the landscape in your own business is a premier event, and it's something that everybody should know.
That makes perfect sense. And then parallel to what you were saying earlier is understanding that the bad guys are already in your system. Starting from that, what do you do when the guys are already in? David, one last question I wanted to ask you. You said this is the fastest growing crime. So on the one hand, we have a business and it's the business owner's responsibility to take responsibility for cyber. Parallel to that, is enough being done by governments, by security agencies? I mean, it's a massive fight, as you say. And for those who have businesses in South Africa or that operate globally, is the fight on that level against cyber risk being fought valiantly, or is that also failing?
So I think it goes country to country. I think in Europe and the United States, they've made enormous progress. I mean, I could give you another case study where they were able, you know, there's certainly many case studies, but where they can recover Bitcoin that's already been paid and be able to do that. But what we're seeing more is that you can't talk about cyber crime and you can't talk about cyber security without talking about data protection. And what we are seeing is we're living in a generation where people are absolutely paranoid about using their data. Mm. I mean, Paula, when we were growing up, we would fight to put our name and number and telephone number and address in the white papers. We would be going absolutely mad. Come and find me. I used to live at 212 Street. Come and have a look. This is me and my dad and this is my mom. And we tell everybody exactly where we were in the yellow papers, was even worse. Today, if a youngster uses his name or his ID number, he's prepared to take you to the international court. Right? So data privacy legislation, which is closely linked with cyber, is coming into effect more. We know about the GDPR. We know about Poppy in South Africa, where the GDPR is a very ferocious set of legislation and it's highly regulated. The regulator's got resources, the regulator keeps money from the fines they give, and therefore they're well oiled to be able to look out for breaches and for how people react to those breaches. POPIA is a great attempt at that, but unfortunately our regulator in South Africa is under-sourced, under-resourced, under-financed, and therefore grappling hard to get going. And what we need to see is countries putting resources and money behind these type of legislation and regulation bodies, making sure that the society know about it. And really, it's in your own interest. So don't wait for the government to do something for you. Do something for yourself and make your business safe.
Which is just another reason why we should be coming to your session at Lee Mood. As you were saying, take the responsibility ourselves. Well, David, a big tick. I'm going to be there. Do you know offhand when your session is this weekend?
I think I'm on Sunday at 10 o'clock.
Okay, so
I think the first session is 9 to 10. I think I'm 10 to 11.
And then just a reminder to listeners, you can find all the details at limud.org.za and the full program there. That's David Cohen, Cyber Risk Specialist. Dave, it sounds fascinating. I'll be there. And thank you for taking what could potentially be a very complicated subject and explaining it in a way that we can all understand. As you say, you're going to be giving cyber stimulation that will allow for a boardroom discussion and look at different levels of cyber attacks.
This is 101.9 High FM News.
Your top stories. United States publishes the 2024 country reports on human rights practices. IDF has eliminated 5 armed terrorists posing as aid workers. And Iran and South Africa are deepening their military and strategic partnership, framing it as a fight against global arrogance. This is 101.9 High FM News. I'm George,